If you have your Bible, let me invite you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and following. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and following. And I tried to go around this morning as I saw ladies and shake their hands and tell them Happy Mother's Day. But I want to wish you all a Happy Mother's Day today. Glad to see you today. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It says down there in verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Father, we do thank you for the preciousness of your word. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you, Lord God, that you are God and not we ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is not shortened to save. We thank you, Father God, that indeed you can minister with great power and majesty. We thank you that you're the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so, Lord, we stand upon solid ground, the rock, when we stand upon you. Lord, I do thank you for those who are here today, who are mothers, and ask you to bless them once more. Just lift them up. Let their children reach out to them and extend to them their love. Father, be with us now as we look at your scripture. You teach us from your word the very eternal verities of your word. We pray that will sink into our hearts, that we might understand and see how marvelous it is to be a part of your great household and family. Lord, if there's that one here today who's never publicly opened and received Christ, that today might be the day that your Holy Spirit would just reach out and prick their hearts and draw them unto yourself. Lord, if other decisions need to be made, this is your church, your congregation. We've met here on this resurrection day to celebrate you and your work. So you have a free hand with us. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My dad was never one who's talked a whole lot in this kind of fashion or way. Mostly I've said over the years, and I say so kind of half jokingly, but it was probably more true than not, that he was the sergeant and I was the troop. My dad didn't want any discussion about things. He didn't want my ideas on things. What he wanted was me to step to attention and say, "Yes, sir." That's, if you did that, he was happy. But I remember one day he took me aside face to face. He got very serious, and I knew, boy, this is, I thought I would, what have I done? I've done something terrible. And he began by saying, "Never, never disrespect your mother." And so I suspect I had probably done that. That's why I was getting this lecture. But he said, "Never, never disrespect your mother. She's the one who stays up nights when you're sick. She's the one who sops your head when you have a fever. She's the one who washes your clothes. She's the one who feeds you. She's the one who makes meals and things that you like. She's the one who does all these things because she loves you. Never, never disrespect her." Now, he didn't say again. So I don't know if he was just giving me a little pep talk or whatever. But it made a great impact on me because I thought my dad never said stuff like that. Well, almost every traditional institution in America is under attack. I'd like to kind of substitute the word biblical tradition with just tradition. a biblical principle, but you really can't do that. So let me just put it in general. Almost every traditional institution in America is under attack. Even the most treasured sacred duty of motherhood is facing bold challenges today. I looked for an example, and I found this example because it's fairly contemporary. Last year, the United Nations convened a special council aimed at eliminating all forms of discrimination against women. The first act was a proclamation calling for the elimination of motherhood. You go, what on earth? These people think the time-honored, biblical, natural idea of being a mother needs to be dissolved because it's gender-based and it's discriminatory. You know, I wish I could say that this attempt to destroy the traditional idea of motherhood is so outrageous, so foolish, so silly that no thinking person would even give it a second thought or even consider it seriously. But that's not the case. In New York State, one particular school district in New York has canceled all Mother Day's activities because they said, we don't want to offend children of homosexual couples or single parents. Now, there's a possibility that might happen, I suppose. But do you have to point out the obvious? Listen, when I said it in the children's sermon, the kids knew it. The obvious thing is, listen, every one of those kids there had a mother! I don't care what kind of relationships their mothers and fathers and all those kind of people were having or in, they still had a mother. They may have cloned a sheep named Dolly, but they ain't cloned no mothers. Well, celebrating or not celebrating Mother's Day is really not the point. It's just one more shot across the bow, just one more thing to try to attack the family and attack the family through mothers. You know, child psychologists tell us that the well-being of children basically depends upon the loving care of the mother. The mother provides that continual close, personal, physical, spiritual attention, loving interaction with the children that they need to develop in a healthy fashion. The intrinsic component of our humanity lies in our social behavior as to those kind of things that we were taught as children. The most fundamental expression of that is a child's love for his or her mother. Do you see it? I like sports and things like that. Todd asked me to pray, to give this prayer request to you. You know, he moved from Branson up to Cincinnati, and he's taking a new job there. So Matthew and I went down to help him move Saturday. And so when we left, he said, please tell the church to do two things for me. Pray that I'll sell my house. Donna came in this morning and said, praise the Lord, Rodney Jr. has sold his house. We pray for that. So pray for Todd that he can sell his house. He needs to do that. And then he can find someplace else to live there in Cincinnati. These kind of relationships are so important. We see this and understand this, that the expression of a child's love for his mother or his father, the mother always comes first. Last night, like I said, I was a little tired coming in from that experience. You know, we drove 3.5 hours down, 3.5 hours back, and we worked till 5 o'clock or something at night. So I was a little bit tired, but I switched on the television set, and NASCAR race was on. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to drink this little bit of water, and I'm going to bed. But I thought I would tease my wife a little bit. I said, Sonia, guess what's on television? She said, what? I said, the NASCAR thing. I said, listen, I think I'm probably going to go to bed, but you go ahead and watch it and tell me the end results. You know what she said? Huh. Yeah. But you've seen that. when these newscaster people put the microphone and so here's a guy, 6'10", 5,000 pounds, muscle upon muscle. The first thing he does is what? Hi, Mom. You know, like he's a 2-year-old or something like that. So don't think that and in destroying this relationship, you know what happens? We destroy society. We're suffering from it right now. And not only do we begin to destroy society, we do the most basic way to devalue a woman is through that. Well, let me tell you, I love my mother. My mother's with the Lord, but she gave me every good reason to love her. Listen, I saw on the TV the other day a very beautiful lady, and she was being interviewed. And here's what she said. Motherhood is the greatest of all professions. I have never allowed secular employment to interfere with the nurturing of my 2 children. I consider my nurturing as equal to a breadwinning as anything. Instead of being a financial sacrifice, my time at home is my most important investment. I understand that my children's future success is a byproduct of what's being taught in home, raised in a safe haven, having an environment. I am, nor ever have been, a second-class citizen, but I'm proud to be a mother, making personal sacrifice to see my children grow up with good self-esteem and no doubt their daddy and their mama loves them. Well, that's it. Go home. You know, I say this, hooray, hurrah for that mother. God keeping us strong in this idea and raising up children. We need about 80 million like that. Well, let's celebrate our mothers who gave us life, taught us right and wrong. We did those very fundamental things, gave us unconditional love, love beyond expectation. You know, I realize that being a mother or a dad today is not easy. And we get no help, basically, from the world. And oh, yes, we have modern conveniences. We have dishwashers and washing machines and microwaves and refrigerators. And you name all those kind of things that help make the time of those kind of tasks go down. But we have more pressures, don't we? The time expectations are all different. And these things can make us feel inadequate. They can make us feel like failures many times. But our scripture this morning speaks about Martha and Mary. Of course, this is Lazarus' sisters. And Jesus was welcome at that home. No doubt he'd been there many times and he was coming again. And when he was coming, he thought, you know, of this house. And can you imagine, and it happens, I'm sure you can think about this. When company's coming to your house, what do you do? Well, you start cleaning up a little bit. You know, you make sure the dishes in the sink are, you know, clean or put in the dishwasher or hidden or something. You take the vacuum cleaner out and you do a little, you know, so when you look down on the carpet, you don't see this stuff. Maybe not over here, but right there anyway. So we do that. We know that. That's what was going on here. Jesus was coming. Mary and Martha were looking forward to that visit. And Martha said, you know, we have responsibilities here. We've got to get this right. We've got to get everything cleaned up. We've got to get everything ready. We've got to fix a meal, all those kind of things. So they were busy, busy, busy. But Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the best part. Down there in verse 42. Well, what is the best part? Well, let's back up a little bit and look at it real quickly. You know, there's a difference in focus. Martha's focus was on serving. How many times have I preached a sermon on serving? I have no idea. But many, many times. And we're told statistically, it doesn't make any difference whether the church is 100 or 5,000. That 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It doesn't change. That's the statistic. And so service is very important. Multitudes of scripture that tell us service is good and all those kind of things. But Martha's focus was on service. She was focused on getting the house ready, getting everything clean, and all those kind of things. So her focus was not so much on Jesus as it was on the things surrounding Jesus. You know, I think that's easier for us to do. I mean, how many times I wonder we come to church and we're not so much focused on Jesus, but the things around Jesus. You know, well, we've got to clean up, brush our teeth, do whatever, get our Bible, whatever, do all these little things that we think are good, and they are. And of course, if you have children, you know, it's one of those givens that somebody's going to do something that morning. Somebody's going to take the cereals and dump them out on the floor or something. Or sometimes I think children sometimes intuit what's going on with the parents and things like that. That's the reason why there's so many kids on Sunday morning. Saturday, they were fine. They were flying around doing all kinds of things. Sunday morning, they get up and in about 10 minutes, they upchuck something. I think they interpret all that motion and all that commotion as being tension, and they get tensed. So, you know, has that ever happened to you? Stuff like that? You know, I remember Joanne Fleming saying one day, she was bringing kids to VBS. And so she had a carload of kids from VBS. She gets to VBS and she's counting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, got them all. Wait a second, where's my child? And she stopped someplace to get a child. So she walked up to the door. When she stopped, her kid got out, went to the backyard and got in the swing. And that's where he was. So, you know, it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to get. It was a good thing to go to VBS and all that. But it was a real good thing if she took her own child. You know, he needed to be there, too. So the focus is always something we have to keep adjusting, don't we? We can't just adjust it once and it's there forever. It has to be constantly adjusted. Martha was doing a wonderful thing, but she needed to make a little bit of adjustment in her focus. And then there's a little difference of fellowship that's going on here. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And notice what Jesus says to Martha there in verse 40. He said, "You're cumbered. You're cumbered about with much serving." These things, you've taken on yourself all this responsibility. And because you've taken on yourself all this responsibility, you're not able to get the sharp focus you need. And you're missing out on the fellowship. And here again, just in general, we see how that works so easily. I don't know how many times, I've thought to myself, I don't want to go to that meeting. Good grief, you know. And then when you go, it's wonderful. And the Lord blesses you. And so it's easy for us to get something else there that's good, but it's not the best. And we miss the fellowship. And then there's a difference in feelings there as well. It says that Martha down there in verse 41, Jesus says, "You're careful, anxious, you're troubled, you're worried." So all the things that she felt like that she needed to do to welcome Jesus into her home. And listen, just opening the door and saying, "Come on in," was fine. We don't necessarily have to do all those kind of things. I used to tell my wife, and it doesn't do any good. I realize that. You know, the Lord has to zap you to get these things. I would tell her, "Listen, I was sitting here half an hour ago. And, if the floor was fine for me to sit here, it's fine for Vondale to come over and say hi." Got to get the vacuum cleaner out. Got to do this, do that. Where's that dog bowl at? I don't know. I don't care. If you don't want the dog bowl out, let's get rid of the dog. But I know all those things are somewhat important. But so Martha was all caught up in that. She was anxious about these. She wanted everything to be just right. She wanted this to be a great occasion for Jesus. Listen, it was. It was. Anyway, or beside her. You know, much in our world gives us anxiety. I heard on the news the other day that here in Indiana, Hostess is closing, I think, 21 different, I'll call them plants. I don't know if that's right. And several thousand people probably are going to be unemployed about that. And they're working, the news guy said, to try to work through the bankruptcy or something, or not declare bankruptcy. Anyway, to save the company. Well, you know what my first thought was on that? How about making a cupcake that tastes good? When I was a kid, I loved Hostess cream-filled cupcakes. They were moist. When you took a bite in them, you had to go like that and do the cream. Now you take a bite, you can go like that, and you can break it right in half. It is dry as a bone. And you'll have to search for the cream inside. So I don't know what great planning needs to take place in the Hostess people. But they've lost their focus. They need to make a good cupcake again. And people will buy it. There's too many other things. Every one of these department stores got a bakery, don't they? You can walk over there and buy a donut that was cooked just a few minutes ago. Why do you want a cupcake that was baked a week ago? They're going to have to do something about that if they're going to stay in business. Well, there's much in this old world, but I suspect that all those folks that work for Hostess are a little bit anxious. Because if they close those down, they're going to be out of work. All kinds of things to be anxious about. You know, we have shootings in our schools. Nobody ever got shot when I was a kid in school. Some got spanked, but nobody got shot. Kidnappings. That child that was kidnapped right out of their own home. All kinds of things. Bombing. We used to worry about getting on an airplane because of weather or whatever in that sense. But you didn't have to worry about the thing blowing up because somebody got on there with something in their shoe or in their underwear to blow you up. So there's multitudes of things that can make us anxious that are genuine in that sense. But listen, you probably can't do anything about any of them. On your part, if you have a concern for whatever, pray about it. Give it to the Lord. Who can do something about it? So we have to watch out what we're doing because we lose our focus and become anxious. And becoming anxious and worrisome, we then lose the joy of what we're doing. You know, it's a very interesting thing. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Martha didn't have any peace. She had the Prince of Peace at her home, but she was anxious. Isaiah 26 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee." You see, we gotta crank it back over there. Jesus noticed that Martha needed just one thing. She needed to have that refocus. You know, we can make our plan that have something to do with the temporal, the everydayness, or we can make a plan for our lives that has to do with the eternal, things that really matter. Well, I told the children this morning in the children's sermon, the best thing they could give their mother was to give her a kiss on the cheek and say they loved her. I think that's true. I think that's true. Now, you know, if you give your wife or your mother some roses, she'll say thank you and all those kind of good things. That'd be marvelous. You know, whatever you do to show some kind of love and affection, probably all going to be well received. But listen, my wife keeps the cards. Almost every card that anybody's ever sent her, she keeps them. She keeps a little basket thing at Christmas time. We pull out cards and whoever sends us a card, that's who we pray for. All those kind of things. Marvelous things. But she's almost got like two categories. She's got the cards, and then she's got the cards. These cards, we can take it to the table. You know, Greg and Vicky. Oh, Craig. You know, got mashed potatoes and gravy. Great. But these cards in this other basket, you get up and wash your hands. Get clean before you read that card. And guess what most of those cards are? Homemade cards that some child made them. And I learned that a few years ago. And so I try to intermix homemade cards with bought cards. Now, generally, the homemade card is when I feel like I have done so many terrible things. want to get in a good basket. So I'll make her a card. And my card looks a lot like a three-year-old's card. So when I think I'm doing okay, I'll get one of those store-bought ones. You know. But listen, it's the focus of the thing, isn't it? Listen, the things that are important in life are usually not things. They're personal relationship moments. When that child reaches up and touches your hand, gives you that kiss, or that tender moment. Those are the things that are real that you do not forget about because they're so precious. Now, I said a minute ago that my mother's dead. My dad's dead. But I want to encourage you. If your mother's alive, call her, write her, make her a card. Do something to say that you know and acknowledge all that sacrifice that they made for you. Do something. And don't think it's too late. It's not too late. You do it. Go home and call your mother this afternoon. That'll be okay. She'll say, it's great. You don't have to tell her, Mom, I forgot all about Mother's Day. The preacher said it was Mother's Day. You don't have to say that. Reach out. Do that. You can't always do it. So do it while you can. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the great blessings that you bestow upon us so freely. We thank you for all those that have come in our lives and enriched our lives. Our mothers, our fathers, teachers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles. Those folks who took a little extra time, spent it with you. We thank you for them. And Lord, help us to show appreciation as best we possibly can. And never, never forget where these things come from and who they are that gives them. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.